I wish there were some Christians who would say, I'm going to believe God. I don't care what the society says. I'm going to believe God.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. One of the most disquieting issues facing Bible-believing Christians today is the issue of gender confusion. Suddenly, this issue has taken hold, mostly in the younger generation, and the LGBTQ agenda is sweeping all before it, with those in opposition being branded as bigots, and worse. Never before has such an idea as gender confusion been taken seriously. But today, the issue must be faced. Our youngsters are at stake. In this evening's message, Pastor Brian Grant offers 3 points based on God's unchangeable word that must be taught to our children if they are to have a chance at withstanding the lies of the devil. Here now is Pastor Grant with How to Speak to Your Children About Gender Issues.
A sailor got a job in the computer industry, and since he was accustomed to referring to ships as she, he decided he tried to find out a gender for computers. So what he did, he got 2 groups. He got a group of all men and a group of all women, and each group had the responsibility to figure out what gender was a computer. Well, the men, they went up first to give their report, and the men said, "We have concluded that computers are definitely female." First, they said a computer is definitely female because only their creator understands their internal logic. Second, they said computers must be females. Computers must be females because they store even the smallest mistake in their internal memory, long-term memory. Some of the men seem to be agreeing. They said the third reason a computer must be female is because once you commit to one, you'll end up spending the rest of your money on the accessories. Well. I hope none of the brothers get in trouble today. The women were convinced that computers were definitely male. First, they said, because despite all the data they have, they are still clueless. Second, they said computers are definitely male because although they're supposed to solve problems, half the time they are the problem. And third, the woman said computers must definitely be male. They said because in order to get their attention, you have to turn them on. Well, that may be funny, but there's nothing funny about today's gender issues. And so today, as we conclude the series on answers to some of today's toughest questions, that's the series we have been going through, answers to some of today's toughest questions, as we have sought by God's grace not to run away from the tough subjects. So if what we're going to talk about today makes you a little uncomfortable, don't worry, we're not picking on you. We're simply trying to answer from God's word some of the very tough issues of today. And today I'm going to be speaking on the theme, how to speak to your children about gender issues. Here's the first of 3 things I want to share with you this morning. Number one, and if you have notes, and there is an insert in the bulletin which you can use to take notes. But here's the first thing I want to tell you, to suggest you. You need to teach your children what God says about gender. Teach your children, those, what, teach your children what God says about gender. You know, recently the Gallup organization shared that in the last 10 years, non-heterosexual Americans, LGBTQ, they said, doubled in number in the last 10 years. But despite their gain, here's the part that really was a shock to me. Beside their gain and the rapid growth, 93% of Americans still identified as heterosexual. That might surprise you, that the entire LGBTQ population at the end of 2021 was only 7%. Amazingly, a very small minority has been able to exert such political and cultural influence that schools are teaching our children an alternative view of gender. And here's the amazing things. The 7% has gotten such a wave to be flowing that if you ever say you're not in favor of that, you're regarded as a bigot. If you're not for it, you're a bigot. Something strange has happened. So my parents, I'm just suggesting to you that Christian parents can no longer sit on the sidelines because the school teachers are teaching your children something contrary to what the Bible says. And if your children are going to hear what the Bible says, you are going to have to become more active in teaching them this is what God is saying. Oh, don't have no fights. There's no need for a fight. Unfortunately, sometimes we fight too much. And some of the Christians who are out there protesting are not in their home teaching their children what the Word of God says. God is not telling you to go out there and fight anybody. What God is saying is to take up the Bible and teach your children what the Word of God says. Amen? Amen. That's why you notice I haven't joined no marches. I'm just simply teaching what God has to say because the Spirit of God is still in the business of changing lives. Listen, if Christian parents don't start picking up their Bibles and teaching their children, the growth in the LGBTQ community is going to keep growing. And if it keeps doubling every 10 years, you do the math. In 10 years, the babies that I just dedicated, by the time they hit 30, 60% of America will be LGBTQ. Just do the math. If this keeps doubling every 10 years, and at the rate we're going with our kids being force-fed an alternative style, chances are it's going to even pick up more momentum. But if it just stays the way it is and keeps doubling every 10 years, you see, we don't realize that. In 30 years, only 40% will have God's biblical perspective. Here's the first important thing I think you need to make sure to teach your children. So write this down. Number one, teach them this, that God created only two sexes. Amen. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says this. Verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them. And God said to them, be fruitful and multiply, till the earth and subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Genesis chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. This is the book of the genealogy of Adam. In the day that God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. He created them what? He created them male and female, and blessed them and called them mankind. In the day they were created, he created male and female. The only true expert on gender is who? The one they just sang about who said, he did it what? All by himself. He is the only true expert on gender because he was the one who made us when there was nobody else around. Amen? And Genesis clearly teaches that God made only two genders. This is so important that Jesus reiterated it when he was here on earth. And so, you know, sometimes we think this is only Old Testament stuff. Well, if you want New Testament stuff, turn to Matthew's Gospel chapter 19, and you will see that Jesus reiterates it several times. But I'll just pick on this one. Matthew's Gospel chapter 19 and verses 3 and 4. And here's how it reads. Matthew 19, 3 and 4. The Pharisees came to him, testing him. But let's go to verse 4. And Jesus answered and said, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made what? Male and female. God made only two sexes. So write this down. Male or female is not what we feel we are, but what we actually are. You see, we get confused, and there's this whole issue now. Oh, you must go by your feelings. But no, male and female is not a feeling. Male and female has to do with biology. And God made some of us biologically male, amen? And he made some of us biologically female. So I want my Christian parents, make sure you teach these things to your children and allow them to ask questions. Don't be upset if they disagree. It's okay. Have an open discussion. Amen? And guess what? They are very likely to ask you, so what about the first question, transgenders? So what about transgenders? Today, an increasing number of people are claiming to be transgender, but did you know that there is no physical or medical support for the claim that there are more than two genders? Are you aware of that? You hear so much about LGBTQ, and it makes it seem that there is physical and biological evidence, but did you know there is none? You say, Pastor, you're getting that from the Bible. I get it from the Bible, but I'm getting it from facts. So write this in your notes. Put this on the screen. I read this on the American Psychiatric website. And I said, American Psychiatric Association website indicates, get this, this is what their website says, transgender is a non-medical term and does not describe an actual what? Medical or physiological condition. Did you know that? Did you know that the American Psychiatric Association says transgender is non-medical? Did you know that? Based on what you're hearing in the society, did you realize that the scientists are telling us it is non-medical and does not describe an actual medical or physiological condition? That it has psychological, social, or ideological roots? In other words, no one was born transgender. Despite all we are hearing, nobody was born transgender, for it has no biological basis. And as we'll soon see, it's one of the products of a heart that has put God on the back burner. But they're not only going to ask you about transgender, and they should. And you better have an answer. And I gave you some good information here, I believe. But they're also going to ask you, well, what about homosexuality? Because that was where we were first. You know, not so long ago, the majority of Americans felt homosexuality was wrong. Am I right about that? But the gay rights movement went to work trying to desensitize Americans, seeking to get us to believe that homosexuality is genetic, and they succeeded. Because right here in this church, there are a whole number of people who, if you ask them, they will tell you they're so sorry for homosexuals because homosexuality is genetic, and these people had no choice. Oh, you didn't know that? Some of my own members believe that, okay? And so if you believe that, let's deal with that. Let's correct that fallacy. Let's correct that fallacy. You see, the idea that homosexuality is genetic is totally nonsense. For despite years of research, no homosexual gene has ever been found. In fact, research with identical twins suggests the exact opposite. You see, science can never find anything contrary to God's word. Any scientific fact cannot contradict God's word because God's word is irrefutable. And so the research with identical twins. You see, now why are identical twins called identical twins? They're called identical twins because they have identical DNA. So if one identical twin has blue eyes, so will the other because they have identical DNA. This hair color is going to be the same, identical DNA. The hair color will be the same until they dye it. You got that? So if homosexuality is genetic, then if one twin is gay, if it was a gene, since they have the exact DNA, come on now, wake up. If they have the exact DNA, if one twin is, and it's genetic, if one twin is homosexual, the other twin must also be homosexual. Research was actually done. Nobody is broadcasting the results of the research. But Peter Bierman from Columbia University, I'm so glad it wasn't some Christian college. Peter Bierman from Columbia University and Hannah Bruckner from Yale University did the research, and to their surprise, the concordance rate was only 5% in Peter Bierman's research and 7% in the other research. Instead of being 100% of the time. Only 5% of the time where one identical twin was homosexual, the other one was homosexual. My brothers and sisters, and those of you who don't even know Jesus, who's buying this, you need to realize that the science does not support what you're hearing on the radio. There is absolutely no scientific fact to suggest that homosexuality is genetic. The science suggests the exact opposite. The science suggests that the Bible is right. Amen. The devil has told us a lie. Oh, I wish there were some Christians this morning who would say, Pastor, beginning today, anything the Bible says, even if I don't understand it, I'm going to believe it. Amen. I wish there were some Christians who would say, I'm going to believe God. I don't care what the society says. I'm going to believe God, because in every case, the society tells us something, but after they do the research, they find out the Bible was right all the time. Oh, I wish we had time to talk about that this morning. So what if your child wants to be transgender or homosexual? We may as well talk about it. It has happened several times in our church. So let's not pretend like this is not the real world. Christian families live in the real world. And in the real world, kids change. And parents need to realize that some children don't like the way God made them. That is the reality. Some children don't like the way God made them. Sometimes it's because of how they look. Sometimes it's because they've experienced some hurt. Or for whatever reason, I'm no psychologist or psychiatrist, but I'm just simply saying the reality is that some kids, even in our church, they probably don't like the way God made them. So we need to be sensitive enough to realize that some children wish they were the other sex. You'll only discover this, parents, if you're investing time to cultivate deep relationships with them. So if you're one of them parents that's always running, you don't go find out. You'll only discover this if you are taking time to develop deep relationships. And don't wait until they're teenagers to start sharing what the Bible teaches about gender. You had better start teaching them from now. Because one of the things I learned at a seminar Word of Life had here recently is that one of the differences between this generation and mine, well, forget about mine because you're going to say, you're so long, between my generation and some of them folks out there's generation. You see, there was a time that a lot of the information you needed, you had to ask somebody. You had to ask your teacher at school, your parents, you had to ask somebody. Today, the kids don't have to ask anybody. They just Google it. And they get some bad information. So don't wait till your kids hit teenage before you say, well, I'm going to start teaching them. By then, it's way, way too late. And by the way, if your child seems to like dolls, or your daughter, if your son seems to like dolls, or your daughter prefers rough sports, don't start panicking. I used to play with some paper dolls myself. My brother's laughing because he was one of them too. He was doing it too. We used to play with our female cousin. We would play with the dolls. So don't just panic because of that. Pray, but don't panic. Amen. Pray, but don't panic. For if we show unnecessary anxiety, it may cause more harm than good. Amen. But perhaps I'm speaking to somebody, perhaps a young man, a young lady, who believes you are transgender or homosexual. You may be here this morning, and I want to make sure you realize I'm not preaching against you. I don't like to preach against anybody. I simply just want you to make sure that your life lines up with what your Creator has in store for you. Because God has a wonderful plan for your life. But you'll only discover God's wonderful plan if you decide to make your life line up with His will. Amen? You'll only find that out. So, listen. So whatever God, you may be wishing you could be another sex. But I would only say to you, whatever God made you biologically, that's what He intended for you to be. The one who did it all by Himself. If He wanted you to be female, He would have given you female biology. Thank God He gave me male biology. Because He wanted me to be a boy, a man. Amen. Amen. Thank God He blessed me as a man to father one, two, and three children. Hallelujah. By His grace. This leads me to the second thing I want you to teach. Part two. About gender. The second thing about gender. God made marriage as a union. God made marriage as a union between a man and a woman. Amen. My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.